Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 24th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today's podcast focuses on signaling through the HIPPO pathway. HIPPO regulates a variety of cell growth, developmental, and tumorigenesis processes in many different species. HIPPO signaling generally inhibits cell proliferation and thus limits growth of tissues. I'll be speaking with researchers that report new findings on HIPPO signaling, both in the context of development and in the context of tumorigenesis. First, HIPPO in development. HIPPO signaling is known for regulating organ size in fruit flies and for limiting the growth of the liver in mice. In a recent paper published in Science, a group led by James Martin reported that HIPPO signaling also regulates the size of the mouse heart. The group also went on to demonstrate that in this context, HIPPO signaling participates in crosstalk with the Wnt signaling pathway through the transcription factor beta-catenin. Martin spoke to me by telephone from Texas A&M University in Houston. Welcome, Dr. Martin.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Annalisa.
HIPPO signaling has been well characterized as a regulator of organ size in fruit flies and mice. So the fact that HIPPO signaling plays some role in heart size control in the mouse isn't really that surprising. But how does HIPPO regulate heart size in the mouse? And is this mechanism different from how it regulates organ size in other contexts?
This observation that HIPPO was important in the heart is kind of unexpected, because the heart is generally thought to have different characteristics from many other organs. And in particular, the heart is thought by many to be terminally differentiated and to have very poor regenerative characteristics. And so the fact that an organ size control pathway that's promoting proliferation and known to be important in regenerative organs such as the gut and the liver was not totally expected. The mechanism that we've uncovered is that HIPPO is a negative regulator of a pro-growth pathway, the Wnt signaling pathway. The mechanism is interesting in that what we've uncovered is that HIPPO appears to be regulating, in a negative sense, Wnt signaling in the nucleus. So events that happen in the nucleus in response to a Wnt signal. It's really interesting also in the sense that before our paper came out, another important study had shown that HIPPO and Wnt interacted through a cytoplasmic mechanism, and that occurs in kidney cells. And so it appears that, at least in the heart, that HIPPO shuts down Wnt at two separate places in the cell. So it's a way to really tightly regulate Wnt signaling in the developing heart.
What is this mechanism of HIPPO modulating Wnt signaling activity in the nucleus?
Well, the basic idea is that there are two molecules. One is a downstream effector of the Wnt signaling pathway, and this is a molecule that's called beta-catenin. And the downstream molecule in the HIPPO pathway is a molecule called YAP. And basically what HIPPO does, it's a negative pathway, is it keeps YAP out of the nucleus. So when you have high levels of HIPPO, YAP is excluded from the nucleus. And so what we have found that in cells that are not receiving high levels of HIPPO, beta-catenin is in the nucleus, YAP is also in the nucleus, and these two molecules are interacting on growth-promoting genes to sort of be super promoters of growth. And so what HIPPO does is HIPPO comes in and signals to the cell and tells the cell that it's time to stop growing so much. And the way that it does that is it pulls YAP out of the nucleus. And so then the genes that are normally seeing YAP and beta-catenin, now those genes don't see YAP anymore, and so they're less active.
We knew that HIPPO played a role in organ size control in the liver, for example, when it regenerates after resection.
Correct.
And that the heart is generally not considered a regenerative organ. However, in mice, and I think fish as well, actually resecting part of the heart in an embryo or in a newly born mouse, that heart can actually regenerate.
Right.
Is this involvement in heart size regulation related to the ability of the mouse heart to regenerate?
Right. So the observation that that if you cut a little piece of the heart off and it will regenerate, that's, I guess it's been known for a long time, relatively speaking, that fish have the ability to grow back their heart after you cut a little piece of the heart out. But it really was thought that was not occurring in higher vertebrates like mice and perhaps in humans, until this recent observation that I guess was published just a few weeks before our paper, in which the investigators showed that if you do a surgery on a mouse heart within the first week of life after birth, that the mouse heart can still grow back. And so that's really, really an interesting observation, and we are certainly quite interested to know whether or not HIPPO has any role in that. And the paper that we published doesn't directly address that, since all these things are sort of coming about at the same time. But those are things that we're addressing at the moment, yeah. I mean, it's very likely that HIPPO could have a role in that. We know that the HIPPO pathway is active in the postnatal heart based on some other experiments that we've done.
And so in this study, you are interfering with HIPPO signaling in the embryo as it developed, not assessing the role of HIPPO in regeneration.
That's correct. So everything that's in our paper is developmental, and it's just suggestive of what could happen during regeneration.
So you mentioned that it's also been shown that HIPPO antagonizes Wnt signaling in the kidney. Do you think it's likely that this mechanism you've described in the heart could act there? And are there other contexts in which HIPPO could antagonize Wnt signaling?
Yeah, I think those are great questions. I think the skin is a likely place where this mechanism might be functioning. There's some evidence out there that the two pathways are interacting and that beta-catena may be interacting with YAP in that context, although the evidence that's out there is only suggestive at this point. It's known that HIPPO represses Wnt signaling in the kidney, and the mechanism that we've shown in the heart may also be working there, but that needs to be looked at more carefully.
What about cancer? HIPPO and Wnt are both known regulators of tumor growth, and so does your finding suggest anything that might be useful to know in the context of cancer?
It's certainly suggestive that the two pathways could be interacting in cancer. So if you hyperactivate Wnt beta-catenin, you can get cancer, and if you lose HIPPO function, then this can also lead to cancer in certain contexts. It makes a lot of sense that the two pathways could also be interacting in cancer. I would say that we need to be careful and conservative in what we propose based on our study, since our study is very focused on what's happening in the heart. But it is a possibility and undoubtedly will be looked at.
It's certainly another mechanism for people to consider when they're looking at the interaction of the two pathways in any cell type.
Absolutely. I think that's right, yeah. Something to consider for sure.
Well, Dr. Martin, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was really terrific.
James Martin is senior author of a paper published in the April 22nd issue of Science. That paper is by Helan and colleagues, and it's titled HIPPO Pathway Inhibits Wnt Signaling to Restrain Cardiomyocyte Proliferation and Heart Size. And now we turn to HIPPO in cancer. The current issue of Science Signaling includes a paper on the role of HIPPO signaling in tumorigenesis. A group led by Valeri Vasushin reports that the adhesion protein alpha-E-catenin acts as a tumor suppressor, at least in part, by cooperating with HIPPO signaling to keep genes that are required for cell proliferation from being activated. Senior author Vasushin and lead author Mark Silvis spoke to me by telephone from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. Welcome, Dr. Vasushin, Dr. Silvis.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
In the current paper, your group has demonstrated that alpha-E-catenin is a tumor suppressor. How did you show that?
Well, it has been known for some time that alpha-catenin is missing or downregulated in human epithelial tumors. To determine whether this is important for tumor initiation or progression, we generated mutant mice with deletion of alpha-catenin in hair follicle stem cell compartment. And what we found is something very interesting. We found that this mice developed skin cancer called squamous cell carcinoma, and therefore we conclude that the loss of alpha-catenin is an important event in cancer, and alpha-catenin functions as a tumor suppressor in squamous cell carcinoma. We also found that unlike normal cells, alpha-catenin mutant cells cannot stop dividing when they become crowded on a petri dish. And this phenotype is known as lack of contact inhibition, and it's one of the hallmarks of cancer cells. So later we used this phenotype in the mutant cells to dissect out the mechanisms responsible for alpha-catenin's function and regulation of cell proliferation.
When they're grown in a dish, normal cells will grow until they touch one another. And then once they touch one another, they stop growing. That's contact inhibition. And so the alpha-catenin mutant cells fail to do that. They fail to stop growing when they touch one another?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we found in keratinocytes. And they essentially, they keep dividing and they grow on top of each other. And as long as we keep giving them new fresh media, they would keep growing, keep dividing.
So once you initially identified alpha-catenin as a tumor suppressor by the mouse knockout and by the contact inhibition phenotype in the cultured cells, then you went on to ask what signaling proteins cooperate with alpha-catenin to suppress tumorigenesis. And you did that by knocking down known alpha-catenin partners and other proteins that had been implicated in contact inhibition or cancer. One of the proteins you identified as cooperating with alpha-catenin was YAP1, which is a transcription factor that's regulated by Hippo signaling. How does alpha-catenin affect YAP1's activity, and how does this contribute to regulating cell proliferation?
Well, it's been known for some time now that YAP localization within the nucleus of cells and its activity in activating gene transcription there are downregulated when cells undergo contact inhibition, as Valeria was talking about, and that this halts cell proliferation. And as Valeria also mentioned, alpha-catenin mutant skin cells fail to stop dividing even after contacting one another. And we found in our studies using these cells that the subcellular localization of YAP was altered by alpha-catenin expression. Specifically, in our mutant keratinocytes that lack alpha-catenin, YAP is localized predominantly to the nucleus, even though cells are contacting one another. While in wild-type skin cells that have undergone contact inhibition, YAP is no longer found in the nucleus. Furthermore, increased nuclear YAP localization has been demonstrated in numerous cancer types, and our studies also show a strong correlation between loss of alpha-catenin expression and strong nuclear localization of YAP, both in our mouse squamous cell carcinoma phenotype as well as human squamous cell carcinoma samples. In addition to these changes in YAP localization, we also see an upregulation of YAP activation of gene transcription upon loss of alpha-catenin, while conversely, high levels of alpha-catenin expression suppress YAP activity in the nucleus. And these results suggest that alpha-catenin acts as a tumor suppressor by regulating both the localization and the activity of YAP within the cell, thereby regulating cell proliferation.
Valeria, how do your findings on how alpha-catenin regulates YAP1 activity compare to how Hippo regulates YAP1 activity?
Well, both canonical Hippo signaling cascade and alpha-catenin-mediated pathway promote retention of YAP1 in the cytoplasm, and this prevents it from activating growth-promoting target genes in the nucleus. However, unlike alpha-catenin, canonical Hippo signaling regulates YAP by phosphorylation, which is mediated by LATS kinases. When canonical Hippo pathway is active, YAP is phosphorylated, and this promotes it binding to 14-3-3 proteins, cytoplasmic retention, and degradation. So basically, the difference is phosphorylation versus retention through interaction.
You show that YAP is a point where tumor suppressor signaling through alpha-catenin and through Hippo signaling could converge. Is YAP1 a likely hotspot for integration of multiple growth-regulating signals?
Yes, it appears as though there is. There are other known regulators of YAP localization and activity. For instance, the apical basal cell polarity proteins appear to be a critical factor. Specifically, cell polarity proteins CRUMS and angiomotin can interact with YAP and negatively regulate its nuclear localization and activity. In addition to phosphorylation by the LATS and Hippo kinases, of the Hippo pathway, YAP can also be phosphorylated by other serine and threonine, as well as tyrosine kinases like AKT and ABL. And these phosphorylation events are also important for YAP localization and activity. So it appears as though, indeed, multiple growth-regulating signals converge on YAP to control cell proliferation, differentiation, and apoptotic cell death. In addition, some of these effects may be tissue and cell type specific, and it appears as though further work will be necessary to unravel the complexity and interplay of these signaling pathways during normal development and cancer.
Dr. Silvas, Dr. Vasushan, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you for having us.
Valeri Vasushan is senior author and Mark Silvas is first author of a paper published in the May 24th issue of Science Signaling. That paper is titled, Alpha-catenin is a tumor suppressor that controls cell accumulation by regulating the localization and activity of the transcriptional coactivator YAP1. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.